Amen. Thank the Lord we can get around that altar and pray. And know that we've got a mighty God, a living Savior that hears our prayers. Amen. What a wonderful time it is. Always get around that altar and pray and seek God's face. Open your Bibles now with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter number 18. Acts chapter number 18. I want to read to you verse 9 down through verse 17. Acts 18, verses 9 down through verse number 17. I want to speak to you for just a few moments on the thought of the man who did not care. The man who did not care. Bible says in Acts 18 and verse number 9, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." In other words, he told Paul, "Listen, Paul, it's time for you to go to a certain place, and it's time for you to rise up and just preach the Word of God." He says, "Don't worry about what people's going to say. People's going to ridicule you, and people's going to mock you, and people's going to laugh at you." But he says, "Paul, I want you to rise up, and I want you to preach, thus saith the Lord." He said in verse 10, "For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months. 18 months teaching the Word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. They were ready to sit there and they were ready to crucify Paul. They were wanting to get rid of Paul for preaching the Word of God. The Bible says in verse number 13, saying, "This fellow," talking about Paul, "this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." They were saying that Paul was trying to get people to worship God opposite of the Old Testament, opposite of what the Scripture wrote, what God wrote in the Old Testament from the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And notice what it says here in verse number 14. "And when Paul was now about to open his mouth," he was about to defend himself, "Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. If it was a matter of some type of immorality, if it was a matter of some type of perversion or ungodliness in that form, that fashion, I would reason with you." Remember now Gallio, he's not a Jew, Gallio's a Roman. But he says in verse 15, "But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters." And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. They were doing that to stir things up. They were doing that just so they could sit there and try to take their anger out on somebody. But notice what it says, that last phrase of verse 17. "And Gallio cared for none of those things." You know, to me, one of the saddest truths among our society today is that we have people just like Gallio. We have people, to be honest with you, that they simply do not care. You can sit there and you can tell them something. You can try your best to tell them something. And their own mind, they've made up their mind how they're going to believe. They've made up in their mind what they're going to think. And no matter what you say, they're just not going to care about it. They do not care about the things of God. They do not care about themselves, about anybody else, believe it or not. But there are many people who have this I don't care attitude. And more so, there are many Christians, not just lost people, but I'm talking about saints of God. There are many Christians who have a I don't care attitude. In other words, preacher, you can preach whatever you want to preach. You can say whatever you want to say. You can stand there and you can tell me everything that the Word of God says from Genesis to Revelation. But I really don't care. That's for somebody else to live. That's for somebody else to have that kind of lifestyle. I'm not concerned about those things in my life. And oftentimes, you know, because we have an I don't care attitude, the house of God lays waste. Oftentimes the work of God is rejected. The ministry suffers. And whether we realize it or not, but many times we fit the bill as a man who didn't care. We ourselves as Christians, we fit that beyond. We identify ourselves, many times we might not even realize it, but we identify ourselves as being somebody that doesn't care about the things of God. And as we study the scriptures right here, notice that we have a man here named Gallio. Now, if you go back and study about Gallio, he was the brother of Seneca. He was known and well respected for being a great philosopher in his day and time. I mean, everybody loved Gallio. As a matter of fact, he was known to be the noblest and the most gentlest Roman of his day. There were many of his friends that called him Sweet Gallio because of his disposition. I mean, every time you got around him, I mean, he was a very jovial type person. He was a very fun person to be around, and he was very entertaining to be around. You never got around him, you never got sad, so to say. I mean, he enjoyed life, and everything went always great for him, and Gallio was a man that was always superbly dressed at all times. Anytime you ever saw him, I mean, he was dressed to the hilt, so to say. Everything was going great, everything was going wonderful. He had gentlemanly manners about himself. There was nothing harsh about him whatsoever. As a matter of fact, Seneca, his brother, said this about him. He said, "Everybody in the world loves Gallio, but no one loves him half as much as he deserves." Now, that said quite a bit for a person. But yet, according to the scriptures, notice when Paul opened his mouth to preach the gospel, notice that Gallio had no time to listen. Paul was about to preach Jesus Christ crucified. Paul was about to explain himself. He was about to yield the gospel right here, but Gallio shut him down. Gallio wouldn't even let him speak. And even though Gallio had opportunity to hear the great apostle, notice he dismissed the people. He set Paul free. You see, Gallio cared for none of those things. When matters of religion came up, he isolated himself. In other words, he turned his back on them. And he just did not care about the things of God. When I stop and think about that tonight, let me ask you a question. Do you care tonight about the things of God? Let's just be honest here this evening. Do you care about your testimony as a Christian? Do you care about the work of the church? Do you care about spiritual things in the eyes of the Lord? Tonight, I want to share with you several things that Gallio cared not for. And I want you to ask yourself, do I care for those things? Am I like Gallio? Am I like one that knows what truth is? I know what right and wrong is, but I just don't want to get involved in those kind of things. I just don't have an interest in that. You know, some people, they don't even come to church. Even though they're at church, they still don't even care about the things of God. Notice right here, number one, notice he cared not for the preaching of the cross. He cared not for the preaching of the cross. Notice here again in verse number 15. "But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters." Now notice that Gallio cared not for the words of the apostle. It says, "But if it be a question of words." You see that? You see the word words right there? In other words, he cared not for the preaching of the cross of Calvary. Because I got news for you. Every time Paul opened his mouth, he preached Jesus Christ. Amen. He preached the wonderful words of God. It's sad to say, but there are many men today who care not for the preaching of the cross. There are many men today. Oh, they know that we're having service tonight. They know we have service Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They know there's other churches around the area, around the state, around the country that preach the word of God. And yet they still care not for the things of God. They have no interest in spiritual things. Matter of fact, take your Bible real quickly for a moment. I want to show you several verses tonight, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let me read to you verse 18 down through verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is in the perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." You see, the preaching of the cross, or to those that are lost, is foolish to them. You know why? As Brother Parker preached here just a few weeks ago, because they've got a carnal mind. They are lost people. They do not discern the spiritual things of God. The Bible says, "For it is written in verse 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see, the only way this little world is going to be saved by the grace of God is going to take the foolishness of preaching. Amen. We got to just right back and preach the wonderful word of God. Bible says in verse number 22, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified." It's not about signs, it's not about miracles, it's not about wonders. It's about the wonderful word of God. Amen. We need to get back to preaching, "Thus saith the Lord." And folks, I'll just be honest with you. There are many people today that are not interested in the Word of God. They're interested in everything under the sun, but they're not interested in Christianity. Amen. And these people, they may get by all right now. They might get by all right in this world as they go along this world right now. But I've got news for you. There's coming a time when they must face God. And let me just say, it will be too late. Amen. There will be no repentance at the great white throne of judgment. There will be no repentance when they stand before God and answer before God of the sins they committed this lifetime. Amen. You say, "But Tim, you know, why should we preach?" I think about the fact we should preach to increase our faith. That's what it says here in Romans. I know you've got this marked in the Bible, but let me show it to you again tonight. Romans chapter 10. You know this verse very well. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. If you never marked it, do so this evening. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." You see, by you coming to church tonight, by you sitting in this service, whether you even realize or not, by you hearing the preaching of the Word of God, that increases your faith. That builds up your faith. By you going and sitting up under any preaching that's biblical, amen, any preaching that's truth, your faith is increased. That's why I want to grow in my faith on a daily basis. I want to grow in my walk with God on a daily basis. That's why it's important to come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, if you're able to, if you can, you ought to be in the house of God. You ought to be there in church. Amen. Why? Because I find right here in verse number 17 of Romans 10, it increases our faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So why should we preach? Number one, to increase our faith. Number two, to give power. We saw that a moment ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, amen. It gives power to those that are saved. He said, when you come to church, you say, "I need strength in my life." Do you realize that by just sitting in the service night, by hearing the preaching of the Word of God, it might not dawn upon you, it might not register with you, but when you leave or not, you'll have more power when you leave than when you came in, amen. Why? Because the preaching of the Word of God gives us power. We got text on that, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. I read it to you a moment ago. The preaching of the Word of God gives power to those that are saved by the grace of God. Now, those that are lost, those that do not know Christ, the Bible says it's foolishness unto them. They come to church and hear the very same thing you're hearing, and it doesn't even faze them. I mean, it just goes right over their head. There might be some sitting here tonight, and you're here sitting in this service, and you hear me preaching, and it doesn't even hit you. You're sitting there wondering, why? You know, why does people have an interest in that? You know why people believe that? It's because they're not saved by the grace of God. If the preaching the Word of God doesn't stir your heart up, you need to ask yourself, am I saved by His grace? Do I know Him as my Lord and Savior? He said, but then why should we preach? Number one, to increase our faith. Number two, to give us power. But also number three, for necessity or command by God. Bible says in 1 Corinthians, turn there with me for a moment, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me read to you verse 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16 and 17. Paul says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me." Paul says, in other words, it's not a choice. It's not an occupation. It's not a profession. It's a calling, amen. God's called me to preach. He says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, if I go out and preach not wanting to preach, and preaching against the Lord and doing things I shouldn't be doing, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." Paul says, I know, in other words, I have to answer to God for it. I stand before holy God and give an account for the messages I preach, amen. Let me just say here tonight, I preach not for fame or fortune, amen. I preach not for position of popularity, but I preach because of the command of God. I'm commissioned by God to preach. And even though sometimes it may be hard, even though sometimes it may be difficult, let me just say, I'm going to preach, thus saith the Lord. And I want to make sure that when I preach the Word of God, I want to make sure that all times my colors are clear, amen. I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power, amen. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still, amen. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight, walking, small planning, smooth knees, color stream, tan visions, and dwarf goals. Amen. Let me just say, I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotion, or popularity. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by presence, lean by faith, walk by patience, live by prayer, and labor by power. Amen. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. And by the way, my companions are few. Amen. But my God is reliable, and my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate the table of the enemy, nor ponder at the pool of popularity. I won't give up, let up, shut up until I say it up, stored up, prayed up, and paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach to all know, and work till He stops me. And by the way, when He comes for His own, He'll have no problems recognizing me. My colors will be clear again. Amen. I want to make sure that my colors are always clear in the sight of God. I wonder this evening, are your colors clear? Do people know that you're a true born-again child of God? Do they know that you've really been saved by the grace of God? I preach not because I want to or I have to. I preach because God's ordained me to, amen. I preach because I've been commissioned to, amen. I find here that Galileo, he cared not for the preaching of the cross, but also notice he cared not for the person of Christ. Go back here with me again in our main text. In our main text there in Acts chapter 18, verse 15 again, notice what it says. He says, but if it be a question of words and names. Now again, the scripture says in verse 15 that Galileo cared not for the names that Paul proclaimed. By the way, the name above every name that Paul proclaimed was the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. What was so great about His name? Thank God there's salvation in His name. Acts 4 and verse 12 tells us, neither is there salvation any other, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank God Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Amen. There is salvation in His name. There is exaltation in His name. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9 through 11 tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And yet Galileo, though he knew all that, Galileo cared not for the name of Christ. He not only didn't care for the person of Christ, he didn't care for the preaching of the cross, but notice also he didn't care for the power of the commandment. Notice there again in verse 15. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law. Now, here was a man that deliberately refused to study the law of the scriptures. Oh, they was in his possession. He had opportunity to read them. He was sweet Galileo. But he didn't care for the scripture, amen. As a matter of fact, he told everyone right here to look ye to it. Notice at the end of verse 15, he says, look ye to it yourself. You know why? Because he didn't care, amen. You know, it's a shame to say, but there are many people just like that today, including Christians, who I'll be honest with you, they don't care for the study of the Word of God. They don't care to open up their Bibles every day. Be honest with yourself. You don't have to tell me, but be honest with God. Have you opened up your Bible every day this week? By the way, God knows if you read your Bible daily. God knows if you're in this book daily. You might fool the preacher, you might fool your family members, but you don't fool God, amen. It's sad to say, but many Christians only pick up their Bible when they come to church, and yet the truth is some never even bring a Bible to church, amen. I mean, folks, let's get real about it. Why? Because they care not for the things of God. I wonder this evening, do you care for the things of God? Is the Bible important to you? Is your Bible important to you? Or is it just another book? Sometimes we pick up other books in our house more often pick up the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with reading other books. We want to get as educated as we can. It's good to read other books, good to read magazines, good to read newspapers. But sometimes we read the newspaper more than we read the Word of God. Some of you might have read more of the newspaper today than you read the Scripture today. Let's just be real about it. We need to make sure we get in the Word of God, amen. The Word of God is what feeds us. I hate to tell you this, the news media, they're not going to feed your soul, amen. They're going to burn you out. They're going to discourage you. They're going to get you defeated, amen, but they won't feed your soul. What's the Bible say there in Joshua chapter 1? In Joshua chapter 1, you know that scripture very well. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe and do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, the only way I'm going to have any success in my life is I've got to get in this book, amen. Amen. I've got to get in the Word of God. The Bible's already promised me in Joshua 1:8. The Bible says, when I do that, my way shall prosper. Amen. If you want your way, if you want God's blessings in life, you get the book of that. Just by reading the book, God's going to bless you. I mean, God said it. Now, if God's a liar, God's a liar, but I've got news for God's not a liar. We might lie, but God never lies. Amen.
Amen.
Bible says in verse number 8 again, Joshua 1:8, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. If you want success in your life, just get in this book. You start reading this Bible every day, and I've got news for God opened doors. God opened financial doors for you. God opened spiritual doors for you. God opened doors for work and jobs and all that. If you'll just get in the book, amen.
Amen.
I find here, he cared not for the power of the commandments. But also notice as well, Galileo cared not for the program of the church. Notice here, jump back with me to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, you know this verse very well. I preach from it quite often. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. You know, to me, one of the greatest testimonies of their church is that they remained steadfast and faithful to the end. Amen. Everybody else is falling away. Everybody else is going their little merry way. But notice the early saints of God, they stayed true. But, like Galileo, you know, there are many Christians today who simply could care less about the work of God. They know the church is going on. They know there's a ministry to do in the house of God. And yet, even though they know their responsibilities, there's ministry to do in the house of God, they don't care for those things. Let somebody else do the teaching. Let somebody else do the singing. Let somebody else do all the things that should be going on in the house of God. I'm just going to sit back, and I'm just going to send them up to you, and I'm not going to do anything for God. There's a lot of that going on in this day and time, amen. Many today care nothing about Sunday services. They don't care about prayer meetings. They don't care about souls being saved. They don't care about missions being going out around the world, amen. And many people, they simply just do not care for church growth. They say, well, I'm satisfied with my four and no more, so to say. I'm satisfied with who I am and what I've got. I've got news for you. There's still souls to be saved. There's still lives to be changed. Amen. Why is that? Because they care not for the spiritual things of God. Question is, do you care about the church? Amen. You know, words are idle talk unless you serve God with action. Don't tell me how much you love God unless you start serving God. Amen. Tell me what God's doing in your heart and your life. I came across a story I want to share with you a few years ago. There were some ladies in the church. They told a strange but very true story. They went out to the woods hunting some kind of berries, and while they were walking through the woods along a little road, they suddenly heard an awful noise. And they looked in the direction of a noise, and it appeared that a building out of nowhere had collapsed. And they went over to the building, and there stood a man. He was shaking like a leaf, they said. The color had left his face, and he looked deathly sick. And he said to these ladies, he said, ladies, just a few seconds before this garage fell, one of my little children who was playing in there came out. And then the garage collapsed into a pile of rubbish that you see right now. And he says, I'm a Christian, but I'll be honest, I let God's house go. And I got out of fellowship with God, and I stayed away from the Lord and built this garage in the Lord's day. And he says, look at it now. And he went on to say, just think. But for the mercy of God, my little child would have been crushed beneath that heap of stone and wood at this very minute. You know something, folks? When God says something in His Word, I believe it's important. God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as a matter of some is. David said in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. A Christian is always connected with the house of God. If you're truly saved by the grace of God, you'll have a desire to be in church, amen. You'll have a desire to be in the house of God. I find right here that Galileo cared not for the program of the church. You show me your works, James says, and I'll believe your faith. Don't just talk the talk. He says, walk the walk, amen. He cared not for the program of the church. Very quickly, also notice, he cared not for the purity of the Christian. Open your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians 6. You know these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me read to you verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Notice he cared not for the purity of the Christian. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? I wish a lot of people get a hold of that. We are not our own. God owns our body, amen. We are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 20, for you are bought with a price. How are we bought with the price? When Jesus shed His blood on Calvary's cross, that bought us, amen. When you received Him as your Lord and your Savior, that bought us, amen. For you're bought with the price. Therefore, because of that, glorify God in your body. Note that. We're to glorify God in our body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, would to God tonight that we'd realize that we're a temple of the living God, amen. I'll be honest with you, I see a lot of folks nowadays, you look at them, you can't tell they're a temple of the living God. They don't look like the temple of the living God, amen. They look like everything else, but not God's temple. Remember, you represent God here on this earth. As I talked to you this past week in Sunday school, we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We represent Jesus here on this earth, amen. And I wonder, do you defile your body with evil substances, amen? Do you defile your body with things that hinder your body, hurt your body, like tobacco or liquor or drugs, amen? Remember, this is the temple of God. We need to make sure it identifies the Savior. We need to make sure we glorify God with the body. Do we destroy our testimony with evil associations? Maybe we have friends that we shouldn't have, or maybe we get around certain type of family members that hinder us and are walking with God. I love my family, amen. I thank God for all my family, but you know, I just be honest with you, there's some family members I just don't hang around with very much. I love them, thank God for them, but you know, they have their lifestyle, I have my lifestyle. They have their way and I have my way. I'll do anything for them. I'll be there for them as much as I can, but I'm not going to sit there and let them hinder my walk with God. I'm not going to sit there and let them hurt my testimony before the Savior, amen. So I wonder, are there some evil associations with certain friends you have, with certain family members, maybe with certain films you watch? We need to make sure the films we watch are those that honor and glorify Christ. Right. Make sure some of those films you're watching, you know, when they start cursing God's name in vain every 5 seconds, you know, you need to sit there and mark it down, amen. I'd walk out of it, amen. I'd get away from it. I'd turn that TV set off or that television, whatever it is. I'd get away from it. I don't want to sit there and watch something that's going to continually curse my God and curse my salvation, amen. Yeah. Do you defile your body? Do you destroy your testimony? But also, do you defeat your church by sinful conduct? By sinful actions? Or do you say as Gallio simply, I don't care what God thinks. Preacher, I'll live my life. I'll do it my way. You can do it your way, but I've got news for you. There's your way and there's God's way. I want to do it God's way. Now, you can say, I'm going to do it my way. You can do it your way, but that doesn't mean it's right. Let's just make sure we do it God's way. My heart's desire is for our people to live pure, clean Christian lives. But furthermore, Gallio cared not for the prayer of confession. One of the great verses in your Bibles is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I want you to go there if you can. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. I'm sure you've got it marked in your Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. Bible says, 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Yeah. Let me ask you now, do you care enough to seek God in prayer? Do you care enough to seek God in prayer and ask for forgiveness of sins? You see, the truth is, we've gone through the whole day, some of us, and we've not even gotten upon our unworthy knee and bowed before a holy God and said, Lord, I want to ask you to forgive me my sins. Lord, I know I haven't been what I should be today. I know I'm not walking with you and talking with you like I ought to be. And Lord, I want to ask you to cleanse my heart. Before you ever come to church, you should have had a time of prayer by yourself at some moment and said, Lord, make sure before I even walk in those doors, my heart's clean. Make sure my heart's right with you. I don't want to walk in there with some evil spirit in my heart. I don't want to walk in there and have some bad attitude in my mind. I don't want to walk in there and defeat and discourage everybody else. I want to walk in there and give you praise. I want to walk in there and give you glory. Amen. You'll never have the power of God until you first have the prayer of confession. Matter of fact, if you jump back up here in chapter 7 and verse 1 down through verse 3, notice what happened to make it happen there in verse 14. You see, before you ever get to verse 14, notice what happened first. Boy, I love verse 1 down through verse 3. The Bible says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. Boy, that's great, isn't it? Hey, ever got to a point in your life when you had a prayer time just you and God, and nobody else was around, that you knew when you got through praying, God's power came down, amen? God's fire came down. The Bible says that when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house.
You know, that's what I want to happen when I get a hold of God in prayer. I want the glory of the Lord to fill the house. And the Bible says, because of that, verse 2, and the priest cannot enter the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord to fill the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped. Notice here, we're not talking about necessarily saved people. They're children of Israel, but that doesn't mean they're saved. The Bible says when those around them saw what was happening, the Bible says they began to pray. They begin to seek God. You know, the only thing that's going to change some people's lives is when they see a big, serious difference in your life. Amen. When the children of Israel saw the fire of God come down, when they saw what God was doing, that's when they want to make things right with God. It could be tonight the only thing that's going to change your family's life or your friend's life is they got to see there's a massive change in your life. Amen. And you got to live it day by day by day. And the Bible says when they saw that, they fell to the ground of the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy, and do it forever. You see, folks, that's the result of prayer. All because Solomon got serious with God and prayed. Notice there was prayer, there was power, and there was a prize. That prize, there was a burnt offering. You see, there might be tonight an offering you've got to make. When Solomon prayed, the fire came down, but the fire consumed the burnt offering. You see, there might be a price, there might be an offering that you've got to put up, there might be something that you've got to get rid of. There might be something that you've got to burn it off. When those folks saw Solomon make some sacrifices in life, when they saw Solomon sit there and burn some things out of his life, that's when they started realizing this is serious. This is real. The only way some people is ever going to see that you're really real about your life is it's not just about your talk. Solomon wasn't just talking about your Solomon was doing something. Solomon put some sacrifices. He put some things on that altar that was important to him. And when he put those things on the altar that was important to him, the Bible says he burnt those things. I wonder now, what are some things you need to burn? Maybe tonight you need to burn some pride out of your life. Maybe tonight you need to burn some possessions. Maybe there's some possessions that you have that's hindering your walk with God. Maybe you need to burn some practices. Maybe there's some practices that you're doing every day that's hindering somebody from seeing Jesus. Notice when Solomon burnt some things, when he burned some things that was dear to him, that's when people started turning to God. Are you willing tonight to burn some things for the glory of God? Are you willing to seriously give up some things? Say, Lord, here it is. I give it to you. You see, the reason why some people won't do that is because they got too much pride. Number one thing you need to burn, you need to burn your stinking pride, amen.
Yes, amen.
Get rid of that proud heart, that proud mind, those proud things you might have. And then finally, I've got to close. Gallio cared not for the purpose of conversion. He cared not for the purpose of conversion. Turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm going to close with this text. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3. Paul says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. You see, even though you may not care today concerning your salvation, hear me well when I say this, you will care in eternity, amen. Because once this life is over, you're going to live somewhere forever. You hear me well when I say this, you're going to live somewhere forever. Galileo had opportunity to hear the gospel. Galileo had opportunity to get saved by the grace of God. But Galileo didn't care. If you'll jump over to chapter 3 of Hebrews, jump down to verse 7. The Bible says in Hebrews 3 and verse 7, wherefore as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, and the day of temptation in the wilderness. You see, there's a lot of folks, they harden their heart, amen. Oh, they hear the gospel, they know what's right, they know what's wrong, but they have this idea that it's not just for me. Oh, that's for somebody else. I really don't care. Preacher, I don't have time for it. I got news for you. You'll have time for it over the day of your death, amen. And by the way, who told you you're going to live to be an old person?
Yeah.
Our life may end tonight. You know, there's a precious lady right up there tonight in the hospital. She's suffering between here and eternity. She's on the doorstep of here and eternity, amen. She can go at any moment, any time. She has that assurance of her salvation. But I wonder this evening, do you have assurance of your salvation? Do you know without a doubt that you're saved by the grace of God? Notice right here in this story of Gallio, there's no record of this man ever making profession of faith to the Lord. Most likely, he died and went to hell. You know why? Because Gallio cared for none of those things. I wonder, do you care? Once there was a young man who, standing in the midst of a small company of friends, he began to pride himself in his infidel notions. He was sitting there and he was making a good sport of the fact that he was an infidel. He was an atheist and he was going to live the life any old way he wanted to live it. He said, oh, I'd be willing to sell my chances of heaven for $5. That's just about all it's worth. Standing at the edge of the group was an older man. He stepped forward. He took a piece of paper from his pocket. He scribbled a note on it. And then he addressed himself to the young man. He said, son, you will sell heaven for $5, will you? You will sell out everything that's associated with the religious life for $5, will you? Well, see right here. You just signed this piece of paper, and here's your money. Well, suiting the action to the word, he placed in the hand of the young man a piece of paper on which he had scribbled some words. The young man stared at it for just a moment, and then he read it out loud. He says, for and in consideration of the sum of $5 received in my hand this night, I hereby renounce forever Jesus Christ and all that he can yield, and heaven with all that it may possess. And I promise from this hour never to be a Christian, never to pray, never to have anything to do with religion and with religious life. That young man looked at the paper. He hesitated. And then he said to the gentleman who had thrust it in his hand, he said, sir, I don't believe I can afford to sign that. That man said, no, sir, I don't think you can. And that young man came face to face with himself. He came face to face with the reality of the bargain which he had purchased. And he came to see the truth as the Master presented it. The Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Folks, the fact is, we can't afford to go through this life without Christ. And we've got family members, we've got friends, we've got neighbors, we've got co-workers on the job with us, we've got folks that go to school with us. We know they're lost. We know, God forbid, if something were to happen in a split second, we know they'd die and go to hell. And I wonder, do we care for them? Do we have a burden to see them saved by the grace of God? Do we have a desire to go out and be a witness to them? Gallio shut up Paul. He had the great apostle Paul in front of him, and he wouldn't even let Paul speak. What an opportunity he missed. I wonder tonight, are we missing an opportunity for Christ? Gallio was a man who didn't care, but I wonder, do you care about spiritual things of God? Do you care about your testimony as a Christian? Do you care about the work of the church? Do you care about salvation? Let's bow in prayer. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving around. You know, as a Christian tonight, why not this evening